Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us here on Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. Warning, John and I are a little bit weird today, so, you know, just kind of, we were laughing in the green room about ridiculousness. And so if we're a little ridiculous, you have to forgive us, because if he gets going, I do, and it just, yeah, gets out of hand very quickly. However, we're glad you're listening. This is Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I am your host, Ellen Hartwell, and my illustrious and rather funny co-host, John Warren, is here. How are you today, John?
You know, I'm really good. It's so funny, Ellen. The worst thing you can say to a person, we've just been laughing off stage, so to speak, is call me funny. So now I'm going to be deadly serious for the next half hour. I can feel it. Like, oh, now I have to be funny? Oh, no. But
you don't have to be funny. No, you're naturally funny, John.
I'm not sure about that. I know. But in all seriousness, I'm fine. I am really good. I'm going to try and keep it together for the next half hour. But I'm very good. And I hope you are, too.
Oh, I am. And if you lose it, we'll reel you back in. Don't worry, John. Don't worry. We got this.
Thank you.
We got this. So, metaphysical hors d'oeuvres. And I just want to talk for a minute about something off topic. Or maybe it's on topic. I'm not sure. But I do want to say to all those people that are helping those in the path of Dorian, whether it's in the Carolinas or in the Bahamas, thank you. Thank you for your generosity and your kindness and your sense that those are our brothers and sisters too. Thank you, thank you, thank you, first responders, human aid people, whoever, thank you. It means a great deal. Keep at it. Thank you so much. That was a terrible thing there, and I like to see people joining together to do what they can. Thank you, thank you. Today's topic is let's not anthropomorphize God. Now, that word kind of sticks where I don't have tonsils and comes out so twisted sometimes. But anthropomorphize, say that three times fast, why don't you? Mm. And what it means, as we know, is to make God or spirit into a human. God is not a human. God never was a human, never will be a human. Now wait before you get your knickers in a dang knot. Yes, God has taken on form in many of the religious and spiritual traditions. And I believe that God does do that. I do. I believe that. So, for instance, in the Christian tradition with which I'm most familiar, God took the form of Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, and came down here and took on the form of man and helped us to see things, we hope. In other traditions, been in the form of an animal or even a woman. So God can take on human form if God's spirit decides to, but in its essence, spirit, God, universe, is not and never has been human. Human can take on the form, but is not in its essence human. And why is this an important topic? Well, it's an important topic because I think we do ourselves harm if we think of God as a human up there, you know, up there, sitting there on this big gold throne and his long white beard and his beady, piercing eyes looking at everything you've done that isn't quite kosher. Tisk, tisk, tisk. You did that. You said that. Oh, you are in so much trouble with God. And we start to get afraid of God, and we think of him as a mean old father or grandfather or uncle, anybody who was mean to you in the past. And we get afraid of God, and if we're afraid of God, we will be afraid to approach that God, the God of our understanding, spirit. So I know, I hear you all, yeah, but it says to fear God. Well, direct translation of that is to respect or have awe of God, not to be afraid like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. but to just be in awe of, to respect that divine intelligence. Respect it, but not be afraid. And I don't know in other traditions, but in the Christian tradition, somewhere in the Old Testament, I should have looked it up, I can't quote that now, but we call God Abba. Direct translation is Daddy. Now, we think of God as Daddy or Mommy Daddy. Let's not worry about that right now. But if we say Abba, Daddy, that's a softer way. That's a softer way of looking at God. But still, God is not human. Spirit is not human. And when we say, for instance, he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, yes, but he doesn't have hands. So we need to remember that. God is not a human. God doesn't walk around with arms and legs and ears and eyes in the way that we understand that. And that can be a little weird to try to think of it that way. But then what happens if you try to visualize God as spirit, as some formless, loving, divine intelligence, then we go, oh, cool. I think I want to know more about that. Because if we think of God as human, if we anthropomorphize him, I said it again, John, we begin to get very nervous about that. Because I don't know about you, John, or other listeners, but I make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, put a cork in it, Hartwell. Or I get frustrated, or I get angry, or whatever. Yeah, I'm practicing religious science as hard as this old lady can, but that doesn't mean I'm perfect. And I don't want a human in charge of it all. I do not want to co-create with a human, because then that means both of us are going to make mistakes. Spirit does not make mistakes. Now, spirit has created things that I do wonder about, but I know it's not a mistake, and by that I mean spiders. Wasps. Why? Why? Well, I don't know. I'll ask when I get there. So sometimes I wonder about some of Spirit's creations, but I know there's a purpose for everything that God has created, and I can say, okay, that goes under the category of, I don't know. Why are there wasps? I don't know. But anyway, that I can get, but I don't want to co-create my reality with a human. I want a much better pilot, a pilot who does not make mistakes. I make mistakes, but spirit doesn't. Whereas if I anthropomorphize God and say, you are human, I have brought God into a vibration that God doesn't belong in, because God doesn't make mistakes and God will never lead me down the wrong path. I can do that all by myself. Thank you. And I can trust, as I get to be more and more conscious, more and more aware of God, that I don't have to worry about that, because God is not human. God is not mad at you, ladies and gentlemen. God does not hate you or anything else. God does not have human emotion. Where are our emotions? Our emotions are in our body. They're not out there wandering around on, you know, some highway. They are in our body. The feelings that we experience as human beings and animals are not the same feelings that God has. Oh, yeah, but Ellen, God loves us. Yes. Yes, I do believe that. But God doesn't love this the way I love my friend John, or I love a partner, or I love a child, or my animals. No. God's love is so pure that we really cannot grasp the love that God has shown us in so many different ways and so many different forms. We can get little tastes of it here and there, but if you think about the last time you were madly in love, crazy in love, all those warm feelings, all that chemistry, oh my God, that's great. That is nothing. That isn't even a quarter of a quarter of a drop of what God feels for you. God is not limited by body or experience. Therefore, that purity is beyond our understanding. We can get some idea, but we really don't know. And is God mad at you? Why would God be mad at you? Well, he might be if God was human. Mother, Father, God was human, then we could be in some pretty deep trouble. But God isn't angry because God isn't human. Spirit does not hate you. Spirit does not see you as this fat, ugly, disgusting, stupid hunk of God knows what. When Spirit looks at you, Spirit sees Spirit. Spirit sees himself, itself, herself within you, radiating just beauty and wonder and creation. So do not be afraid of God. Do not anthropomorphize God and make him or her or it into a human, because then it's too scary. God does not hate you. God is not angry at you. God does not create hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, or anything like that. God does not do, or disease, pestilence, wars, whatever negative thing we can come up with. God didn't do it. Because God is not angry. God does not hate. God wouldn't understand if I said, "Do you hate me, God?" God would say, "Huh? What's that?" So really try to take in the beauty of not anthropomorphizing God, because there's great liberty in that. There's great joy in that. And then guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There is that peace that passes all understanding when we see God as spirit. Spirit neither has gender or color or culture or bias. Spirit isn't man. Spirit isn't woman. Spirit is all of that without ever having been human. And that will help us a great deal as we learn to be more conscious and to embrace some concept of spirit, God, universe. We don't have to be afraid that, yeah, I know what you did last summer, and I'm really not happy with that. God doesn't even know what you mean when you say last summer, because there is no time with God. There just is. There's an is, this beautiful ball of creation. Don't blame God for what man does. And don't be afraid to come to spirit with whatever it is you're dealing with or whatever it is you're co-creating. God will work with you and never has and never will work against you. And if you take a moment and just feel that presence around you, within you, it's an animating, very quiet, very powerful, loving force of divine intelligence. You'll feel it. And that is love in its purest form, and that you can start to grow with and connect with and co-create with. Okay, so, John, I'm going to do my thing, and then you better start talking. Just better, and you don't have to be funny.
I might. We'll see what happens.
Okay, so you are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. Today's topic is Let's Not Anthropomorphize God. Next week's show, are you ready? You have your seatbelt on? I don't believe we're doing this, but we are. Next week's show is the end times. Are we in the end times? What does that mean? Should I be afraid? Should I be very afraid? Or should I be celebrating? Is it the end of the world? What's going on? So we're going to be talking about all that next week. And the week after that, the topic for the show is grace. So keep that in mind. We appreciate that you're listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. We appreciate so many people are listening, and we do appreciate that. We love it that you like what we're saying, or that you hate what we're saying, but you're tuning in. That is great. Thank you all, and thank you, God. Okay, John, let her rip, tater chip.
Oh, I like that. Let her rip, tater chip.
Let her rip,
totally
tater chip.
Take that. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm going to tell that. I have a little boxing thing I do once a week, and I'm going to tell my guy that he needs to start saying that to me as I hit the bag. Let her rip, tater chip. So I'm stealing it. What I want to say, there's so much to say about this, Ellen. It's so fascinating what you said. I actually sort of was listening intently and listening and hearing, like, where does this strike me as right on? And because I've thought about this topic, you plan these things out weeks in advance, and I know where we're headed in general with this show. And but I was like, okay, this is a weird one because I have to say, do I do that or do I don't? And what's interesting about it is, do I anthropomorphize God or spirit is actually more comfortable to me? Or do I sort of lean into that there's a creative power, there's a higher power that is greater than me, that created me, that doesn't actually have human form and human emotions? And by the way, if we do make them human, as the Greeks did, they had a whole community on a mountain that they, you know, they worshipped.
And
they were all the foibles. If God can have human emotions, then God has human flaws, and God, or gods in the Greek sense, have human flaws. And, you know, the Greek gods had love affairs, and they had jealousies, and they fought each other, and they killed each other. They did all the things that we did. And when you get there, then I'm not creating anything. I'm not being led forward in any way. I'm just actually making excuses for what's happening in my life if I do that. And that's sort of the alternative. I mean, that's the other end of it, where in the Roman and Greek tradition, they turned them all into all, every aspect of a human personality was turned into a god. And those gods were just painfully human. I have to say, I can't get anywhere with that. However, what's interesting about it, Ellen, is that there's this thing of what the way you said, right at the end of what you said, which is, and I'm going to say it here, get ready, drum roll, please. It is halfway through the show, a little more than halfway through the show, so you know what I'm going to say. Practice relying or leaning in. There's a book about something totally different called Lean In. Leaning in to the idea that there is that spirit is the thing that created us, that is an energy, that is a ever present energy in our lives, and that we can focus and get sort of on the surf and co-create with that energy moving forward, and have faith that that is our hammock. It's what we are laying in. It's what's the ground underneath us. It knows every hair on our head, but it isn't a person. It isn't a human. It isn't something that can have the same foibles that I have. Ironically, I'm going to say, and thank God for that, because
amen.
I don't need another John Warren. Like, I don't need to be talking – now, that, which isn't to say that I don't need to talk to Ellen, or I don't need to talk to like-minded people, or sometimes I don't need to talk to people that aren't like-minded but may have a totally different perspective, that human beings, we are all acting as God's agent often in each other's lives and in experience, but it's not the thing itself. It's not the thing called that we're calling God itself. And I want to touch on two things biblically, as it comes to my understanding, because you brought this up in the beginning of the show today, is having awe for God and being in awe of it is actually what it does is instead of fearing God, I think there's probably a translation, being in awe of the power of creative spirit is actually, and I do think in the most traditional sense, when people say you need to be in fear, you know, have a fear of God, the translation for our time and for us that is more useful for me, Ellen, is to say, no, I have an awe-inspired respect for God. And when I remember that, which, you know, again, don't always do. I've had a couple of meltdowns recently. But when I remember that, not only am I in awe of the power of creative spirit, the Holy Spirit in the Christian tradition, I'm also respecting my own power, because if I start screaming and ranting and lose it, there's power in that, and I will suffer the results of that. And I'm going to dip in and out of traditions around the world, but we do pay, there is a result from what we're saying. Our words matter. How we live and how we think, how we talk, how we move through the world does matter. It has power. So when I'm in awe of the creative spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, when I'm in awe of that, I'm also respecting my own power. And the last thing on this, because you touched on this, I think it's important, is that one really good practiced exercise to do is to when you're reading the Bible, in our case, in the West, but anybody who reads the Bible, is to just switch out the word Lord for law. And that will actually open up. It makes the Holy Spirit, it makes God active and powerful, not human, though, but an active and powerful. Respect the Lord your God. Respect the law. It's actually there. It's happening now. You're creating right now. I'm creating right now. In every experience, I am creating right now. And so being in respect of that the law is working, the creative force of this universe is working right now, and it's actually not human. Which isn't to say that I may not have a chit-chat with Jesus once in a while, and that I come from a sort of Anglo-Catholic tradition, Episcopal, but high church. And so I don't have a little conversation with Mary and Joseph sometimes. I absolutely do, Ellen, FYI. I want to be clear about that. But they are intermediaries for me, because I can't quite get to absolute creative spirit. Like, I may be, because of something's going on emotionally in my life, I will, in fact, it's not anthropomorphizing God, but I will rely on my tradition's intermediaries to start the conversation. Does that make sense? Because it's actually a little needle to thread. Yeah. Help me find a house, St. Joseph. Help me find a house. You know, that kind of thing. But I don't mistake that for Holy Spirit. I do not confuse the two. And that's important.
No. And I agree with you. You know I talk to Jesus every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I talk to the Holy Mother, Mary, and sometimes I talk to Mary Magdalene, and sometimes I occasionally talk to St. Joseph. I'll have to do more of that, Jesus' earthly father. That's a good one, John, because can you imagine the courage that man had? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to do a show on that. But people that you admire, whether they're saints or holy parents or your parents or that great neighbor you had growing up that you respected, that is wonderful. That is a stepping stone. Those feelings of safety, those feelings of you get me, you speak my language, you're my tribe, you're my people. That's beautiful. Celebrate that and understand that that is just a little glimmer, just the slightest little hint of what spirit is like and what spirit can and will do. We never want to confuse spirit with human, because if we do, we're really diluting the experience we can have with spirit. Don't dilute it. Don't anthropomorphize it. But whatever brings you to that highest of all vibrations is fine. The angels, Jesus, Allah, Brahma, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter because it's all the same to me. It's just what I'm familiar with. So when I come out in the morning and have my coffee and say, good morning, Jesus, and he says, good morning, and I imagine him sitting here with a glass of wine. I don't drink, but we know he did, so I imagine him sitting there with a glass of wine, and I say, so how's the wine? And he goes, best there is. Uh-huh, yeah, that makes sense, Lord. Yes, it does. And so I have these, one might say, imaginary conversations with someone that I can understand. Because if I go spirit and it's this big thing, energy, tone, vibration, I get a glimpse of that intuitively, but I can't relate to that as well. But I do remind myself that spirit is not human. But I can access glimpses of that divine intelligence, that co-creative force, by using something I understand. For me, it's the Christ. And so when I say, so Jesus has the wine, and Jesus says, excellent, and I go, but of course, darling, we have a little humor. And then I can talk to Jesus and imagine the responses. Yes, I did take my blue pill this morning. And imagine the responses and get some glimmers of insight that take me where? Take me higher, 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 until I can get glimpses of the great Holy Spirit, the overarching divine intelligence, the creator of the stars, the oceans, the mountains, I can get a glimpse of that through using what I know, but I never put arms and legs on God because I don't want God, Spirit, Universe, to be a human. No, I don't. I want it to be kind of a mysterious tone, a vibration that I can gently and lovingly approach and know that that vibration lives within me, created me, and will guide me unfailingly as I co-create with that spirit, that energy, that sound, that tone, because there are tones there, as some of you know. And so, yes, I use Jesus, and I mean use in a good way, to get me to that place where I can kind of imagine, kind of see, kind of experience God, Spirit, Universe, as that non-human vibration that is, yes, past my understanding, past words, past the verbal, but into an experience of that which is certainly not human. So let's remember that, because if we do anthropomorphize God, we're diluting an experience, we're constraining ourselves to a form, we're not having the richness and depth of an experience that is theirs for us to have as we practice, and evolve and get more conscious. It becomes easier to approach the God of our understanding, the spirit of our understanding, universe, whatever works for you. It gets easier. And I have found that lately in my practices and as building up to this show, yeah, a God in human form to me was the Christ. And that takes me closer to the non-human form of spirit, which radiates beauty, radiates power, radiates creation, radiates intelligence, and works with me as I co-create the reality I desire. Right, John? Say right, Ellen.
Right, Ellen. And I will just say, Ellen, I think it's important. I actually know in my own personal life and people I've worked with that it is very important to, you know, whatever gets you there, but don't confuse the process with the end. And as I say, one of my favorite moments in a book is, you know, somebody talking to Jesus and Jesus sits down for and has a saltine cracker and some ginger ale in the book Franny and Zoe. And I love it. And it's a conversation with something that is clearly important to me to get, I mean, a person who's very important to me historically and the teachings. And I believe in the power of the Christ. And so the Jesus in the flesh, actually, I can sort of deal with that and pray in a way with that to get me to a greater understanding. I'm actually saying, help me understand Christ in a broader way. Whatever the question is, that's really the final question always. Help me to understand this in a broader way so that I may live more fully in this life. That's it. And so Jesus, and in my case, Joseph, I love Joseph. And by the way, just as, you know, here's a little side note. Young David is a big one of mine in the Old Testament. David, help me. I need the courage here. I feel small. I'm smart. I got a slingshot in the form of my brain. I need some courage here. I will use that one. I've never said that out loud. There you go. Now you know, ladies and gentlemen. I will say, help me with this. Get me to the courage point. In Holy Spirit, because it came through you, show me what happened or help me out with it. And it does. It has over and over again. The reason I go through intermediaries sometimes is because eventually I'm going to get to like, oh, I don't need anybody else. I am connected and I know it all the time. I know it 24/7 with every breath that I take that I am the vanguard of an expression of Holy Spirit. And I am so it is not possible for me to be separated from that. I am not there 24/7. So I practice with whatever is the most useful thing for me to practice with. And there it is. But Holy Spirit, this is a beautiful show, Ellen. This is a beautiful episode because this is big time, big, put on your big boy pants spirituality we're talking about here. And it's good to be reminded of it. You're good at this.
Yeah. Yes.
You should have a show.
Yeah, we should have a show, John. Hey, why don't we do
a
show on metaphysical understandings and workings? We should do that. You want to? Oh, John, we're still on the air. Hi, everybody.
Oh,
I told you we're a little off today, but God doesn't wear pants. because God, Spirit, Universe is not human. Don't forget that. Approach that tone, that vibration with total fearlessness as you are in awe of and respect. We do have to end this now. I think we might have to do another one on this, John. But, oh, yeah, anything that works for you to bring you to that vibration is very important. Don't be ashamed of it. Practice, practice, practice. Have a beautiful week. We'll be back next week with Are We in the End Times? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, John.
Good topic. Thank you, Ellen. Mm-hmm.